For our last segment, we're joined by local peace activist Marina Mann, who is active with groups such as Women Against War. Last week, many Americans filed their tax returns. Oh, and much of our taxes, unfortunately, oh, editorial comment, go to pay for the American military, which is by far the largest in the world, almost half of all military expenditures. Maureen, can you explain to us how much do we really spend of our tax dollars on the military?
Well, that's a very interesting question, Mark. Hello. I was just reading Mark Dahebe's article that was recently posted in Rolling Stone, and he says that not even the Pentagon itself could really tell you that, because they are totally incapable. It is such a quagmire and a subterfuge themselves in any of their branches to be able to really tell you what they spend. But what we do know is that it's gargantuan. So, for example, for this current year, the base of what we're spending is $617 billion, plus another $69 billion for the overseas contingency operation. And I'm not sure if everyone was clear on this. I think I wasn't totally clear on the OCO. That's our war funding, i.e. slush fund budget, that we have been operating with to fund the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, Pakistan incursion, all of the current emergency wars that we don't declare. And basically that funding does not come from our taxes. It comes from borrowed money. So that will come from the taxes of our children and our children's children, along with the interest that we'll be paying on that, which you can imagine some estimates are as much as another, billions of dollars on top of that, ultimately over the many years that we'll take to pay it back. So it's a complicated question with complicated answers. But the Women Against War group that I work with, Pathways to Peace, has decided that we want to be able to ask and invite ourselves, first of all, and then invite our fellow citizens and our legislators to really, really begin to dig down into what we're spending for war and what that means. Because we agree with Dr. King, who 50 years ago called our military spending, and we have to think about the difference between 50 years ago and today in terms of the amount, a demonic, destructive suction tube. And we feel within that same framework that our war spending, our, quote, defense spending, which is in truth war spending, is unsustainable, it's irrational, it's self-serving, it's self-perpetuating, it's essentially existentially dangerous for us as in terms of our future, the planet's future, as a material commitment of all of our resources to war and war-making, which that budget really represents. And so we feel that it's important for us to speak out on this during this particular period of time. There is a global call to action that's been issued over the last few years. It's called Global Days of Action on Military Spending. And it was called a number of years ago again to provide people with essentially almost a month of days of opportunity to globally take a look at the issues of war spending and to speak out. In this year's Global Days of Action are occurring from April 13th, as you point out, Tax Day, the eve of Tax Day, through May 9th, when the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute, which is a longstanding European-based institute, provides the information on global military spending for the year previous. And so that month of days serves as an invitation to really dig down into just what you're asking. How much are we spending and why are we spending it? And so we decided we wanted to engage in that initiative this year, our Pathways to Peace group. And so on Monday, May 6th, We are going to be standing at noon on the steps of the LOB outside, and we will be calling a press conference because, again, you call the press with the hope that the platform, as the young women speaking before me were talking about, is raised for conversation so as many people as possible can engage in this issue. So we'll be calling a press conference to talk about, I guess, the general theme of the Global Days of Action, demilitarize, so we can invest in people's needs. And we're choosing to go to the state legislature because as we struggle as a state, as counties, as communities, as individuals, to try to fund human needs, infrastructure needs, the climate change demands, we're not really looking at what many people call doesn't this elephant in the room does not belong to any party, a bipartisan failure to truly take a look at what we're spending on quote defense spending. So that's why
you
we're
can allow us
that
to ask
location.
Another question.
Yes, for sure.
Can you tell us about some of the groups that track this military spending?
Some of the groups that track it. Oh, yeah, thank you. That's a great question. Yes, and for people to take a look at these groups would be wonderful. There is an institute at Brown University called the Watson Institute, and every year they do a very, very thoughtful analysis of what they call the cost of war. In addition, they're writing all the time around the related issues of cost of war. So, for example, this last year's report has a separate report on the human cost of war, and of course, that's always sitting there as something we have to constantly be looking at and really keep in front of us. But also a very thoughtful analysis of the resource commitment that ultimately our military budget represents. So the cost of war study at the Watson Institute at Brown University is an incredible resource if people want to track military spending. The War Resisters League, year after year after year, has been working to put out a pie chart that demonstrates how much of the discretionary budget, 56% I think it is this past year, of the United States budget in general goes for war spending. And that, in truth, doesn't include things like veterans, VA cost, and this interest cost that's very real, but we kicked down the can down the road. So the War Resisters League material is really invaluable for people wanting to understand. The National Priorities Project has a very, very interesting tool among many resources similar to these kind of analysis of both in-depth cost of war study as well as big picture, within the context of the whole U.S. budget. But one of the things they provide is a trade-off counter. So, for example, you can plug in New York State and see proportionate to the amount of tax money that New York State throws into the federal budget, how much of that goes, given the percentage of discretionary expense for military defense spending, you can plug in and see that New York State spends 20.69. No, excuse me, that's not even right. New York State spends, and I thought I had it in front of me.
Well Maureen, we have 90 yes. seconds left. So in the last 90 seconds, how much have we spent so far in the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan? What have we gotten for that spending? And how can people get more information in about 40 seconds?
Okay, we have spent on the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan $5.9 trillion. That doesn't include the interest. Kathy Kelly was one of your guests recently. She goes back and forth to Afghanistan. She concurs with the Cost of War Project that we've gotten very little, and I know that's a very, very difficult thing for people to hear because of the cost, both resource-wise and human life-wise. But what we have is a failed state. We have women who are still without any kind of political power. We have a government that's prone to and fed by this military spending to corruption. So looking at one country, Afghanistan, and that's echoed in Iraq also. There's two reports that people might want to look at.
Maureen, we're out of time. Website or anything for more information?
Basically, if people go to womenagainstwar.org, they'll be able to see about this event. And if they go to demilitarize.org, they'll get information on the
Thank you, Maureen, for joining us.
Thank you.